Be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
It's good to see everyone out this morning. Appreciate very much you being here. I apologize ahead of time for my voice. If hardships and trials and troubles was like snow, we'd be shoveling every day. And man has been facing these since the beginning of time. When man had fallen from God's grace in Genesis chapter 3, he's lived among the thorns and the thistles all his life. The apostles faced him on a daily basis, and so did Christ. Paul in Acts 20, verse 23, said, "Say that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me." And Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he wrote verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Seems like today we're kind of on the wrong end of the stick. We try to live our lives the way God wants us to live them. We try to treat people the way that we would want to be treated, but it doesn't always seem to work out that way. But I'm sure that this was nothing new. The apostles had nothing against anybody and humankind, and yet they were severely persecuted. And Peter even wrote in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." We are going to face hardships, and we're going to face trials and tribulations and everything else till the day we die. But how do we bear them? What is it that God has put in His plan to help us to be able to overcome and to live through these things? Now, I remember the first time that I ever even put in my prayers and thanked God for the trials of my life. Because it wasn't until about that time that I actually realized what they were for and how much of a benefit there was. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, Paul also kind of had the same idea. He said, "Lest that I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." You know, we have a tendency when things are going very well in our lives that we start getting up there in the upper atmosphere. Seems like nothing can bring us down and we're above everybody else. But there's a problem of being in the upper atmosphere too long. That lack of oxygen kind of makes you a little weak. Before you know it, you pass out. Our trials and tribulations keep us earthbound. It keeps us from defying God's rules and laws of gravity. It keeps us where we need to be, here on this earth. You know, you don't see a whole lot of people that's facing a whole lot of trials that has an awful lot to crow about. Most of the time when we're facing our trials and tribulations, a lot of times our backs are against the wall. But these trials also prove our faith. In 1 Peter 1 and verses 6 and 7, Peter said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, Though thou now for a season, if you need be, you are having us through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I've oftentimes talked about refining gold, about what it does, and how the hotter the fire, the more pure the gold, the more that it is refined, the more impurities are cooked out of it. And as Christians, the same thing in these trials by fire, so to speak, or fires by trial, whichever way you want to put it. The more we are tried, the more we are refined, the more we benefit from it. Unlike gold, though, gold can be vaporized if you get the fire hot enough. But not us. We continue to improve. We continue to get better by those trials. But think of the patience that many of us have been able to acquire through the trials that we face. Paul in Romans 5 and verses 3 and 4, he wrote here, "But we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." There's a reason for everything that God does. And trials is no exception. Job faced an awful lot of trials in his life. God never exactly answered his question as to why. And maybe the question doesn't need to be answered. But we know Job was a much richer man and a much stronger man after those trials went by and he endured. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, Jesus says that we are to rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I don't think there's any of us in here that rejoice in the trials that we face, do we? Sometimes I have my footprints on my lip when I step on it because it's dragging so low when I go through the trials. When we sit back and we look and we have to sit there and think, just how bad are our trials? Do you know today for sure that in 3 short years you are going to die? Do you know today that in 3 short years you're going to be whipped and pushed around and persecuted? No. Can you imagine what Jesus was thinking the moment he got to the point and he started his ministry and God said, "Jesus, my son, it's time." And Jesus goes out there knowing that shortly time comes. You know, it's hard for me to fathom that we're almost into April. I'm still trying to figure out where January went. And in 3 short years, Jesus, I can imagine him sitting there and he's getting his ministry started, and in 3, and we can say the older we get, in short years, it seems like clock has sped up on us. If Jesus can rejoice knowing what's coming, why can't we? Why can't we? When we look at everything that the apostles went through to share and to spread God's word, why can't we rejoice in the minor petty tribulations we face today? You know, Acts 16 and verse 25, and in your outline I had Acts 25, 25, it's Acts 16. The thumb got the wrong key. I tell everybody, I only got 2 fingers that know how to type, and thumb got in the way. Paul and Silas were sitting in a Philippian jail. Now, I don't know too many people sitting in jail that's rejoicing. But there, here they are, they're praying and they're singing. They're praying and they're singing. And I can imagine, you know, the times that Paul was being beaten, that he wasn't angry, that he endured those beatings. They were in the trials of their lives, and they were praying. And they were also singing. I have to be careful sometimes of singing something, because then it gets stuck in my head and I can't get it out. But there are times where I'll do the same thing. I'm thinking about something and it's wearing on me, and then a song will pop in my head and I'll start singing it, and I'll start singing it, and I'll start singing it. James 5 verse 13 says, if any among you are afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Brethren, if we're singing, we got to be happy. That we can overcome those things by praying and singing and staying busy. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in doing well, as unto a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19. How many times have you experienced in your life and you've got a problem that's wearing you down, that you go out and you find something to do with your hands to take your mind off of it? I go out and I look at the weeds in my backyard and I contemplate cutting them or picking them. And I often find times when my hands are busy that the other parts of life seem to smooth on out. When we face the trials of our lives, why not help someone else out that's also facing a trial, and we can solve both our problems at the same time? Paul in Galatians chapter 6, he writes, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For he that sows to his flesh shall also reap of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit, of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season shall reap if we faint not. Now we have to admit that most of our hardships and most of our trials and tribulations are self-induced. You know, the other week we talked about Lot, and about the choice that Lot made to go and move to the land of Canaan and pitching his tent at Sodom, and how all of his problems sprouted out of the poor choices that he made and the decisions that he made. And, you know, we pay a lot for the decisions that we make. Sometimes the decisions at the time we think, well, I had no choice. It was this or that. And I understand that. I go through the same thing. And we have to deal with these things. But we will be able to overcome the trials, even if they're self-induced. While these behaviors should be second nature to us, oftentimes they're hard to keep at it. We can pray, we can sing, and we can do these things, but sometimes it just bears us down to the point that it's very difficult to be able to endure. But you know, sometimes we think, I can't do it on my own, and you're not. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, when Paul was praying to be relieved, when he said he was praying to be relieved of the affliction, he didn't do it just once, he did it three times. Excuse me. And the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I look at folks that are handicapped and had through no fault of their own. When I look at people who are missing limbs and they're enduring and they're going out there and doing these things, when I watch them in the Paralympics and they're running track on one good leg and sometimes on no legs, and they're running around and they're working hard at life. But oftentimes as Christians, when we face trials, we lose a limb sometimes. Not physically, but metaphorically. We need to be able to keep moving. We will be delivered from our trials. David, in the 34th Psalm in verse 7, he wrote, "The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them." But what is that deliverance? Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verses 7 and 8, he said, "I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, here is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day." You see, Paul endured all the trials and tribulations he faced. The beatings, the shipwrecks, the prisons, the scourgings. And he remained faithful. He kept the faith. But he's also put in the promise that we have it also. Not only to him, but all of them that love his appearing. James 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." As I mentioned earlier, it's kind of hard to be a haughty person if you're facing trials. And all of us on a daily basis are facing one trial or another. We all need help getting through these things. When we are close together, when we look at fellowship, when we develop that bond with one another, we know when others are being tried. We know when their backs are against the wall. And it is our responsibility to be able to help them over these times. You may not be going through the same thing that they have. You may not say, "I know what you're going through." But it doesn't mean that we can't help one another. It's a lot easier when you have two people digging a hole than one. But it's also a lot easier to fill a hole with two people than to fill one by yourself. We need to be able to rejoice and to pray, to sing and work our way from the trials. Because of the way we behave, we are promised grace to be able to sustain us. Grace to be able to deliver us from our trials. And through grace, we will receive that crown of life. Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, he says, "For all the promises of God are in him, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." If we have the faith of Abraham, we can overcome any trial that we face. Remember the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 10 through 12, "Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Brethren, how we deal with our trials depends on our relationship with God. If you've stepped away from God because of your trials, if you feel abandoned, then hear this, God has not left you. He is still there. All of the trials that we face are temporary. There is never a permanent trial. Ever. But a strong relationship with God is forever. Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel deserted? God is always with us. But oftentimes we either forget that or we fail to realize it. Prayers go a long way in returning our spiritual lives back to normal. How does one who has never obeyed the gospel face trials? You face them alone. You face them alone. Because God is not with you. God is not beside you. But He can be. If you are not a child of God this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. Now, God put a very simple plan of salvation in the He gave it to man to be able to come to Him, to be reconciled to Him, not Him to us, but us to Him. You are here. I know you believe, or why else would you be here? That leaves very little left to do. But to repent, to change your life forever, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. This morning we want to give you that opportunity. And if this is not the setting in which you want to do that and you want something else, come see me afterwards. And we can make other arrangements. But don't delay. Please don't delay. Your soul is at stake. You can only save yourself. If anyone has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.